I want you to ponder these four questions. Here's the first one, and that's why. Why pay the price? Why work this hard?
Yeah. I don't care how good you are in anything. You don't have discipline. You ain't nobody.
Right.
You're nothing without discipline. Because you give up on the slightest struggle without discipline.
100%.
I mean, discipline is doing what you hate to do, but do it like you love it.
Doing what you hate to do, but do it like you love it. That is a great quote.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, you could be successful in anything.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I live by the rules of that ego, and I've accomplished so much.
And a dominator ego.
Yeah.
Right? You're set to
all
have
about
confidence.
Destroying people. Yeah. Yeah. Just anybody, you could be a lawyer, 200 pounds, I'm staring you down. It was a weird environment growing up that way. You know, because we as people, we try to avoid fights. You know what I mean?
Right.
For my instincts, we avoid fights for all our lives. And just to be able, this is what you do, like you're a UFC guy, you're a fighter. This is what you do for a job, a lifestyle. That's pretty bizarre.
But you were getting positive reinforcement from thinking like that for the first time in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Never felt like that before. It was like taking a big drug, like a loose, just boom, it felt like you're the man. Then everybody's telling you you're great.
Yeah.
You know?
For the first time in your life.
Never understood that. And you know what else Custom Model used to do with me? He used to take me to a hypnotist. He was a hypnotist as well. Yeah, and I used to go in the hypnotist motions.
What kind of shit do they make you do? You know, how they do it?
You relax, you go under, you totally focus on blackness, nothingness.
Right.
You go under and you're just being the savage, intelligent animal. You're just working. You're going to do this. You're going to be a ferocious animal. You're going to fight, puff. Both hands to the body, you'll use your jab, you'll do this in ferocious fashion. And they seeked all that in me as I was younger.
And you were like 12, 13 years
yeah.
old? Wow. So they're putting you under and just teaching you that mindset.
Yeah.
Whoa. Did he give you any advice on how to shut it off?
No.
No.
He was probably like, I don't have any time. He's probably like, I don't have any time.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Saying now, Mike.
Sacrificed so much for it already and dedicated so much of my time that I have to push it as far as I possibly can. I don't want to be number two. I want to make this city proud, you know? That's a main reason for me. I like to say I just want to win.
Slow motion is better than like no motion. Like,
fast.
Like slow progress is way better than just not having nothing. And I feel like today's like right now, people aren't patient. Like swear to God, I just feel like people are not patient with the blow up. I feel like people are just trying to rush and trying to hurry up and do this and this, knowing that shit gonna take years.
They want to go viral on that.
They want to go viral so fast. Yeah. Like yeah. It's like, bro, like you have to wait. And also, I just say play the back until it's time to play the front. And when it's your time to play the front, you go full throttle. Like today, like now is the time.
The dumb shit that I've done or the bad mistakes that I've made, they've taught me. You know, you learn. Like that's why failure is so important. Like failing and fucking up and making mistakes, it's very important. That's how you learn. That's how the bad feeling that you get from something that you shouldn't have done or wish you didn't do or wish you did better. Like especially failing at something where you half-assed it and you just feel like a fucking loser. Like that just teaches you. It teaches you to get your shit together.
That is the goal. To get up on Sunday and go, you know what, this week, I'm going to go to the gym three times. On Sunday morning, you say this to yourself, just three times. And you walk out on the third time, you know, this week I'm going to write three paragraphs of my book. These are why you start with these little goals, because it empowers the rest of your life.
You can't even begin to think about having things figured out and having it together until you're in your 50s. Just don't even worry about it. Just don't even worry about it. You've got to have maturity. And maturity comes with time. And maturity is not something that you can gin up artificially is not something that you can be responsible for not being ginned up artificially. You don't want to have to do. You have to live. You just have to live. You just have to live. You just have to act your age. If you're 26, be 26. Stop trying to be 56. It's not expected, and it's a burden that you don't have to carry.
Like, you can learn in an entry-level job, man. And I'll tell you, if you take an entry-level job and you learn, and it's a reasonably decent place, you will not be in an entry-level job for long. Because everyone who's competent is desperate for competent people. And if you go and show yourself as competent, there'll be a trial period. But if you go show yourself as competent, all sorts of doors you didn't even know were there will start opening like mad.
It's easy to give up.
You know,
Easy. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. All right, man, I'm done. I ain't going. I ain't gonna keep going.
Yeah,
I don't feel like going to work. I'm done.
Yeah, man.
It's easy. It's very easy. But what's hard is going, yo, yesterday I got nothing from working as hard as I could. Nothing happened from that. I'm gonna do the same thing again today, but I'm gonna try to go harder. That's the hardest thing in the world. To get up every day and give 100% and be in the same position that you were each day, but mentally know that you're trying and trying and trying. That's a real grind.
I think a lot of times folks, especially young folks who I tend to empathize with and speak to more often, they're not comfortable because they're going along with the society that's around them and they're trying to fit in the framework of what everyone around them or on whatever social media they're on says that they should be, how they should look. How they should conduct themselves. And you can't be comfortable with yourself if you don't know who yourself is. And you can't know who yourself is if you don't stop looking at how everybody around you is and start looking at what makes you comfortable and what makes you uniquely you. There's roughly close to, I guess, about 8 billion people on this planet. But there's only one you. Would you stand out in the crowd? Not in a bad way. What makes you you doesn't need to be something that's immoral or obnoxious or uncomfortable, but just uniquely you. Just you.
What's your morning routine like? Or do you have a morning routine that you like? Or do you just kind of...
Fasted cardio is what I like to do, or fasted yoga. That's my most recent thing, is I'm doing either 14 to 16 hours depending upon what my day looks like. Nice. So intermittent fasting, and then I usually either like yoga or running in the morning. Today was running, and then I'll do something in the afternoon, either martial arts related or weightlifting related.
Do you drink coffee every morning, like when you wake up? Or
not always, but I like it. I like these things, these nitros, these caveman nitros. But I like regular coffee too. But I drink water with Himalayan salt in it too. That's one of the first things. Yeah, I put a little lemon in there too.
Do that every morning.
Sometimes I throw a little cayenne pepper in that motherfucker.
Wow. Any apple cider or ever vinegar?
I do that stuff sometimes too. I take a lot of probiotics. I eat a lot of kimchi. I find like kimchi and game meat is like, I've been on this kick for the past 3 or 4 months where I just eat kimchi and elk like 3-4 times a week and eating stuff.
Yeah. Dude, it's hard when you eat some elk before bed and you wake up hard as a rock, wanting to fuck people up too. You're like,
what the fuck? Dude? People don't know, man. Dude, they don't know. You're eating a super athlete. If you eat elk, you're literally eating a super athlete. You know?
How long's your training routine, Kev?
Generally 2 hours. Okay. A regular day for me is 2 hours.
So,
but it depends. One of the things I do is I use, when it comes to training, like with weights and kettlebells, I treat kettlebells like it's a skill. And I think that is something that I learned from Pavel Tatsulin and studying his Strong First protocol.
Mm-hmm.
He advocates a long rest period in between workout sets and more repetitions in terms of volume by virtue of the fact that you have larger rest periods.
Mm.
And a lot of people feel like they're being lazy when they do that because they're not pushing themselves. But I push myself doing other things.
Right, right.
If you look at the general population and you get a bunch of weak bitches and you get them together, how many of them are going to keep it together? How many of them are going to run every day? How many of them are going to work out every day? Very, very, very few. You're dealing with outliers in particular just by virtue of what you do. How many people are willing to put the work in to achieve this?
How many?
How many people are going to achieve this physique? Very, very few, right?
Thank you.
So we're talking about outliers. We're talking about how, that's what I like. I like outliers. I don't like people like, it's too hard. I can't hear that.
Why go this far? Why try to learn this much? Why try to do it all? Why try to see it all? Why try to have it all? Why do it? Why learn it? Why study? Why put yourself out? Why try to take on this much responsibility? Why develop yourself to the full? Why try to become all that you can possibly become? Why try to earn as much as you can earn, share as much as you can share, develop every skill you possibly can, see every human you possibly can, go to every class you possibly can, touch everybody you possibly can? Why do that much? Why go that far? Why share that much? Why give that much away? Why try to see everything? Why try to do everything? Why try to become everything? That's a good question, why? And you're the only one personally that can answer that question for yourself. You've got to have your own list of whys. Here's what I want you to do when you go home after you've left this extravaganza. Work on your list of whys. One of the big thrusts for success is to come up with a strong enough why. In leadership training, here's what we learn. If the why is powerful, the how is easy. But if the why isn't strong, if your goals aren't powerful, if the vision isn't clear, the old prophet said, without a vision, we die. Without a vision, we perish. Without a dream, we're nothing. From the movie, The Professionals, I listened to Bill Herron give his testimony yesterday. From the movie, The Professionals, it said, we joined because we believed. We stayed because we were committed. We left because we were disillusioned. But we came back because we were lost. Without a dream, we are nothing. I'm asking you to sit down with your family and develop a dream strategy. I'm asking you to make a list of what you want. What kind of health do you want? What kind of skills do you want? What kind of income do you want? What kind of gifts do you wish to bestow? What kind of power would you like to have? What kind of influence would you like to have? I'm asking you to go home and work on the why. Spend some time as you fly over the clouds and over the ocean back to where you came from. I'm asking you to have a vision by the time you've reached home of why for you, why you want this kind of income, why you want this kind of recognition and these kinds of skills. I'm asking you to develop your own list of why. Now, here's number two. The first question to ponder when you go home is why. Here's another good answer to why. It's the second question, why not? Why not?
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Why not see how much you can earn? Why not see how much you can learn? Why not see how many skills you can develop? Why not see what kind of person you can become? Why not see what kind of influence you can have? Why not see how many people you can rescue from oblivion? Why not see how many people you can reach? I want you to give thoughtful consideration to your goals. And why not? If a farm boy can wander out of Idaho and finally arrive at this extravaganza, why not you? If it's happened for you, why not others? And why not you? I want you to take that personal. Why not? Why not? You've got to stay here till you go. I mean, what else are you going to do? Why not see how much you can do, how far you can go? Now, here's number three. Why not you? I wish I could say that to each of you individually, but it would take a couple of lifetimes to sit down and talk with each of you individually. But I would rather do that. I'd rather sit down and talk with you and your family with the fire burning in the living room than to be standing on this platform. That's my true desire. I'd love to talk to you and your children face to face. That's what I'd really like to do. I'd love to spend a couple of days with each of you personally and pour out my heart, my soul, what's going on in my head, what's going on with me, see if we couldn't connect and find something valuable. But time doesn't permit for us to have those intimate conversations and get to know each other that well. So I've got to do it from up here. But I want you to take it personal. And my personal question to you is, why not you? You've got the brains. You can make decisions. You can study the plan. You can change your life. You can grow immensely in the next few years. You can make your dreams come true. You can build a financial wall around your family. Nothing can get through. You can become healthy. You can become powerful. Why not you? And now here's my last question. My very last question on the questions to ponder is, why not now? There never was a better time. And what a time now for us to take this dream and not let it die. Take this dream and give it life. Take this dream and breathe into it your own personal spirit until finally it becomes a flame that burns around the whole world. Let's go do it now.
In life, folks, you cannot change your life unless you change something. If you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got.
What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? If you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that you could not fail, what one thing would you set as a goal for yourself? What if you only had 6 months to live? What would you stop doing? What would you do more of? Who would you spend time with? Is what you really value? What is really important to you?
Interesting about being alive is that you're all in. No matter what you do, you're all in. This is gonna kill you. So I think you might as well play the most magnificent game you can while you're waiting, because do you have anything better to do? Really? Why not pick the best thing possible that you could do? Why not do that? Maybe you could justify your wretched existence to yourself that way. I think you could, because you're more powerful than you think. Way more powerful than you think. I mean, God only knows what you are in the final analysis. You're blind to your own weaknesses, but you're also blind to your own strengths. And then it would be better for the community. It's like, how far could you take that? If you stopped wasting time, and if you stopped lying, and if you oriented yourself to the highest possible good that you could conceive of, and you committed to that, how much good could you do? Well, I would say, why don't you find out?
The time is now. The time is now to express and for people to believe in themselves. The time is now for it to be okay to be great. People in this world shun people for being great, for being a bright color, for standing out. But the time is now to be okay to be the greatest you.
Person, and work and get to the top of whatever it is that you want to get to the top of. You know, and stand up for yourself. Be a bit of a light on the world instead of a blight. You know, and you can tell young people that, and they haven't been told that by anyone now. And yeah, it might, so why don't you go do it? That's what the damn universities were supposed to be teaching people, and they've forgotten that.
If you don't fail, you're not even trying. My wife told me this great expression: to get something you never had, you have to do something you never did.
Is that hard times create hard men. Hard men create soft times. Soft times create soft men. Soft men create hard times.
Les Brown's a motivational speaker. He made an analogy about this. He says, imagine you're on your deathbed, and standing around your deathbed are the ghosts representing your unfulfilled potential. The ghost of the ideas you never acted on. The ghost of the talents you didn't use. And they're standing around your bed, angry, disappointed, and upset. They say, we came to you because you could have brought us to life, they say. And now we have to go to the grave together. So I ask you today, how many ghosts are going to be around your bed when your time comes?
The hardest thing in life is figuring out who you are and what you want to do for the rest of your life. And once you figure that out, you wake up every day and you work toward it. It's impossible for you to fail if you know who you are, what you want to do, and you wake up every day and work toward it.
When I seen that Bentley at the boxing gym,
And I seen that diamond Rolex. I said, I want that. And I knew what it took. So I know when my opponent is asleep, I'm out there at 4 or 5 in the morning, chopping trees, working, to this day. Because I can retire today. I'm well off, very comfortable. But I got the will to win.
Work, 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 work. No results, but I'm a little bit better. Work, 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 work. Work, 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 work. No results, but I'm a little bit better. Work, 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 work. No results, I'm a little bit better. Work. Boom.
Just got paid.
I just got paid. And it looks like overnight success.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, shit. It happened in here. No, bro.
Sacrifice temporary fun for permanent dreams, or sacrifice your permanent dreams for temporary fun.
Those times when you get up early and you work hard. Those times when you stay up late and you work hard. Those times when you don't feel like working, you're too tired, you don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway. That is actually the dream.
When they saw me in the gym in the pumping iron days, they said, why is it that you're working out so hard? 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and you have always a smile on your face. The others are working out just as hard as you do, and they look sour. And they told people all the time, I said, because to me, I'm shooting for a goal. In front of me is the Mr. Universe title. So every rep that I do gets me closer to accomplishing that goal, to make this goal, this vision, turn into reality. Every single set that I do, every repetition, every weight that I lift will get me a step closer to turn this goal into reality. So I couldn't wait to do another 500-pound squat. I couldn't wait to do another 500-pound bench press. I couldn't wait to do another 2,000 reps of sit-ups. I couldn't wait for the next exercise.
We got to face adversity. Adversity breeds character. We have to be willing to go through hardship, through suffering, through pain, through crying periods. All of that stuff, don't shy away from any of that because it just makes you stronger. And I think today, a lot of times, our youth is so into kind of, oh, let's make him feel good. Oh, no, let's be more sensitive.
Well, you should be afraid of taking risks and pursuing something meaningful. But you should be more afraid of staying where you are if it's making you miserable. It's like the first thing you want to do is dispense with the idea that you get to have any permanent security outside of your ability to contend and adapt. It's the same issue with children. It's like you're paying a price by sitting there being miserable. You might say, well, the devil I know is better than the one I don't. It's like, don't be so sure of that. The clock is ticking.
Yeah,
and if you're miserable in your job now and you change nothing, in 5 years, you'll be much more miserable and you'll be a lot older.
What would have had to have happened in a week for you to look back on that week with pride? Okay, maybe stop breaking promises to yourself. When you say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow at 7 a.m. and when the option comes to hit the snooze button, don't do it. There's one win that you've got for the day. That's action.
Okay, well, like you get a job? Mm-hmm. Like when do you become a man? You become a man when you become responsible for other people. And part of that is taking accountability.
Yep.
And so like I am very new to this being a man thing. And I'm still not there. That told me going to war made you a man. Going to prison, coming back makes you a man. Making $1 million makes you a man, you know. And it doesn't. And you don't know it till you've done all these things and realize, damn, I'm still a little fucking boy. Yeah. Or been around people who've been there a bunch of times.
Is that it includes the forebrain. So you can tell yourself the effort part is the good part. I know it's painful. I know this doesn't feel good, but I'm focused on this. I'm going to start to access the reward. When we focus only on the trophy, only on the grade, only on the win, you undermine that entire process. Is without question the most powerful aspect of dopamine and our biology of dopamine. And the beautiful thing is it's accessible to all of us. Hard work is hard. Generally, most people don't like working hard. Some people do, but most people work hard in order to achieve some end goal. End goals are terrific and rewards are terrific, whether or not they are monetary, social, or any kind. Hard work in the future. There's a classic experiment done actually at Stanford many years ago, in which children in nursery school and kindergarten drew pictures. And they drew pictures because they liked to draw. The researchers took kids that liked to draw and they started giving them a reward for drawing. The reward generally was a gold star or something that a young child would find rewarding. Then they stopped giving them the gold star. And what they found is the children had a much lower tendency to draw on their own. No reward. Now, remember, this was an activity that prior to receiving a reward, the children intrinsically enjoyed and selected to do. No one was telling them to draw. What this relates to is so-called intrinsic versus extrinsic reinforcement. When we receive rewards, even if we give ourselves rewards for something, we tend to associate less pleasure with the actual activity itself that evoked the reward. If you get a peak in dopamine from a reward, it's going to lower your baseline, and the cognitive interpretation is that you didn't really do the activity because you enjoyed the activity, you did it for the reward. The feeling of friction and effort to an internally generated reward system. You're not just pursuing the things that are innately pleasurable. You want it to feel better. You want it to feel even pleasureful. Now, this is very far and away different from thinking about the reward that comes at the end, the hot fudge sundae for after you cross the finish line. And you can replace hot fudge sundae with whatever reward happens to be appealing to you. We revere people who are capable of doing what I'm describing. David Goggins comes to mind as a really good example. Many of you are probably familiar with David Goggins, former Navy SEAL, who essentially has made a post-military career out of explaining and sharing his process of turning the effort into the reward. The ability to access this pleasure from effort aspect of our dopaminergic circuitry is without question the most powerful aspect and the beautiful thing itself.